to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Hyla Molander. Hyla is the author of the forthcoming memoir, Drop Dead Life, a pregnant widow's heartfelt and often comic memoir about death, birth and rebirth. She is a photographer and has also put several chapters of her book on Scrib.com, which has provided a lot of attention and views, and we'll be going into that today in the interview. So welcome, Hyla.
Thank you so much for having me, Joanna. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So maybe you can start by telling us a bit about you and your story, which, you know, for everyone listening is quite a shocking one.
First of all, about me, I'm probably one of the most open people you'll ever meet, whether I'm writing or talking about grief, humor, sex, medication, my 29-year-old husband's death. I also write about simultaneously loving both my late husband and my new Match.com husband, and quite frequently about being a sleep-deprived mommy of four small children in our beautiful San Francisco Bay Area. I'm open because I like to think that the more I share of myself, the more others will feel inclined to share, the more that we'll all accept each other and accept ourselves. That's a big theme in my memoir, Drop Dead Life, embracing our authenticity, because bad things happen to all of us, but what we do with the emotions that surface from those events, that's what makes all the difference. So obviously, from the title and subtitle, Drop Dead Life, a pregnant widow's heartfelt and often comic journey through death, birth, and rebirth. My book is about facing our darkest times and plunging right in to the emotions that come up from them and facing our feelings, as painful as that may be, so that we can rise with the ability to live and love with twice the intensity. There are definitely certain events in my life that I'll never fully get over, but being widowed has revealed hidden gifts that I never would have imagined. So that's a little about my story. It's my book is not just for widowed people, but it's also for anyone who's experienced divorce or depression or addiction, anyone going through a difficult time. It's to remind people that they can get through it and that they can create the kind of life they want. Aside from writing, I'm also a photographer, as you mentioned, and my degree is actually in creative writing, but I was looking for a way to pay my bills and just sort of fell into photography and happened to be good at taking pictures of babies and kids. and I ended up having worldwide publications through a line of greeting cards and posters, through a Wise Little Souls concept I came up with, which sends a message that our kids, our children, are both our students and our teachers. And that's definitely something I see with my own four kids, whether they're teaching me to be more patient or that a cocktail at the end of the day makes most things seem better. aside from writing and doing photography, well, I'm writing now full-time, of course. I've also started a widowed community on Facebook. It's a widowed community page. It's called Widowed Web, where I post thought-provoking questions like, how do you help your children through grief, or do you think you'll find love again? And before I know it, 50 widows and widowers from all over the world start writing individual responses, and it gets them to think about their feelings and share and offer support to each other. And that's another way that I've found meaning in my experience.
You've got so much that you're doing there. Just before you go on, we didn't make it
entirely obvious that your husband did die suddenly when you were pregnant. We should just make that clear.
Yes, that's for sure. Yes, I was 29, and my husband Eric Grieve was also 29, and I was 7 months pregnant with our second baby. And it was Easter Sunday, ironically, and we had a great Easter dinner, and he got up to make the coffee. He was laughing. We were having a great day, and he literally slid down the kitchen counter and died. And I actually thought he was joking when he first fell down, because he was funny. He made jokes, and I said, get up. And then I saw there was blood down his mouth, and I called 911, and I went from having everything I had ever wanted to being told 35 minutes later that my husband was dead. So needless to say, it was a pretty unimaginable experience. But I knew right from the moment he died, even the day after, that I always knew that I would find love again, and I always had the hope for that, and I believed in it. I don't know if it was him sending me that message or just, you know, the will to go on and make a new life. And I knew I had to make meaning out of the experience, out of the tragedy.
So I guess that's an amazing thing, is that, you know, obviously what your book is about is come out of that tragedy. So did you actually use writing to help you heal over that time?
Definitely. I you know, writing and tons of therapy and the medication that was necessary and vigorous exercise and you know, there wasn't the type of online support communities that there are now because of the internet. So it's been 7 years since he died, and that wasn't available. So I knew I'd write about it when it happened as a writer, and I've been writing since I was a little girl as a way to make sense of things in my life and myself, and I just figured, I'm a writer. I have to write about this. This is how I'll make meaning. And you know, of course, that meant and still means, as I revise chapters, that I've spent countless evenings sobbing, you know, while I reenact his death and, you know, what we said to each other and my feelings around it. And but it definitely helped me. I started writing pretty soon after he died, knowing eventually I'd make a book out of it, hoping that it would help other people. And my tone obviously has changed so much in 7 years, because I have found love again, and through Match.com, online dating. So there's a bit of that in the book, and it's some comic relief. But I'm very happy that I have the raw material from right after his death, because it would be so hard to go back to those emotions and remember how much that hurt 7 years later. So definitely, I always encourage people. I was just speaking at, it's called Camp Widow. It's put on by Soaring Spirits Loss Foundation. I was just speaking on the authors panel there, and, you know, people were asking if I recommended that they write to heal, and I said, of course. But, you know, to me, that just makes sense as a writer. But I think for anyone, writing can be such an incredible tool for healing. And, you know, for me, I feel like unless I sit down and to write something, I feel the emotions inside me. They're so uncomfortable. And then when I sit down and write, it's almost like I feel more cleansed, like I've given birth to something inside of me that I need to get it out of me. And so, you know, I'm all for facing our painful emotions and writing them down and the details. Definitely helps everyone do that. It's not always easy to do, but I like to say the light on the other side of it, you know, feels even more more opening and more penetrating of a glow.
And I guess And I mean, I've not been in the same situation as you, but been through a divorce and, you know, written in that time as well. And I guess, where do you think the line lies between the writing that you've done for therapy and then the writing that you publish to the world? Because clearly there's raw emotion and then there's actual publishable material. Right. Material. So how have you balanced that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, my book has changed so many times, the shape of it. At one point, it was all letters to Eric. And then, you know, being trained in mostly in fiction, a little bit in screenplays and plays, but mostly in fiction, I am extremely aware that I have to treat myself as a character and not assume that everyone knows everything about me, and I have to make the characters alive with, you know, with the right balance of dialogue and description. I think if, you know, people were just reading my journal, I don't know why they'd want to keep reading. So, you know, there's a shape that has to come out of it that, you know, that has organically happened for me over this period. But there's a huge difference in just writing for myself and knowing that other people are going to read it. And also, I think it's, you know, it's funny, the people who read my writing now, they call me on it when I'm not being real. Like when I'm not putting all of the emotions in it, they say something's missing. I'm not getting the connect that you normally give me. And it's usually because I hadn't been ready at one point to go where I needed to go to make it as powerful as the writing needed to be. So, and by the way, with regards to divorce, I'm sorry about that, first of all. And
I'm happily married, second time from the internet as well. So.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so great. I know. It's so funny. People always say, I don't want to meet someone online. And I don't understand how you can do it after the age of 25.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I'm in my house writing. But what I was going to say about, you know, comparing divorce and being widowed, you know, there are major parallels there in feeling like damaged goods, you know, what did I do, the guilt, and it's quite interesting. I talk to people all the time about it, about, you know, grief and divorce. There's grief in divorce, and it's just, you know, this whole process of writing and interacting with people on a deeper level has been such a tremendous gift in my life. Like I don't have time for surface conversation. I just sort of move on. I mean, I don't have time for much of any conversation with four children, but you know, I think when you've experienced something tragic in your life, it, you know, for me, it's opened my eyes up to the preciousness in each moment, and I want to be real. I want to live a real life. I want to love. I want to laugh. But people who aren't in touch with their feelings, sort of, I don't want to have a deeper conversation with them normally. I mean, I like to help people get in touch with their feelings, just by asking questions or sharing my experience. I think, you know, when I share with them, they're more open with me. I've definitely found that people tell me so many personal details in writing a memoir.
I imagine.
And I feel, right, because everybody, you know, they feel like they know me, and because I've put it all out there. And so, you know, it makes them feel more comfortable. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, I think we're all just trying to feel accepted and loved. We're all just still little kids looking for acceptance from our parents or the world. And there's a lot of that in my book, you know, just learning to accept ourselves and manifest the right kind of life and love we want.
No, that's fantastic. Now, we could go on talking about memoir, but I also want to ask you about using, I say Scribd, I know some people say scribd.com. Now, you've been using that as a book promotion tool and also in a way, you know, to put your book out there because, you know, obviously you've got a lot to tell people and a lot to share and, you know, this is just one way to get it out there. So maybe you could explain how you've been using scribd.com.
Well, first of all, Scribd has been incredible for me. I had no idea about Script until 4 months ago. And I, when I heard about it, I thought, oh great, this is just another, something else that's going to suck my time, you know, and I'm not going to get any readers out of it. And I thought, you know, I'll just post on there and see what happens. And amazing things have happened for me there. In the four months I've been posting there, I have accumulated almost 45,000 reads. So I've been using it as a way to build my platform, which is, you know, one of the huge things agents and editors talk about when you, when you're looking for a book deal, when you're looking to acquire an agent, especially with memoir, you need to have a big platform. They need to know that people are interested in you, are interested in your writing, and that there are people who will actually buy your book. And so I think Scribd is such an incredible tool for anyone trying to build their readership. It's incredible, and it's also just a phenomenal community in which I've connected to so many authors and even editors, getting in with magazines I might not have known about, or, you know, not have had access to the editors. I've been writing for the Good Men Project magazine because I believe in, you know, men being involved with their emotions. And so I contacted Tom Matlack through there, through Scribd. I commented on a piece and I said, I don't know how to submit something because it was new. And, you know, I wanted to help increase that awareness about men and their feelings and needing to process them. And so I connected with them there. And of course, you know, then that leads to other connections. So not only is it great for just having worldwide readership, because they have 60 million people reading every month on online, which I knew. The reason I tried it was because I realized that, you know, Scribd obviously had many more readers than my blog, so I should try it. And, you know, there's definitely something to be said for getting featured there, because I've had many of my articles, or I had the first chapter of my memoir featured on Scribd, and within 24 hours, it had been read 3,000 times. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to fall over. And then within a week, it had been read 7,000 times, and everyone, you know, many of those readers were saying, well, where can I buy the book? And I said, well, as soon as I finish it, then I'll let you know. If you want to take care of my four children and make it faster for me to give me more time to finish it. I just think it's a phenomenal community.
For people listening, how do you actually use it? Because some people wouldn't have actually seen it. I have, but I just want you to explain, how do you actually use Scribd?
You know, I think how I do it, I go on there. You can actually just connect with your Facebook account, which is what I did 4 months ago. And so all my information was imported quickly. And then I just took my documents, which were Word documents, and I uploaded them. You can click upload and just put the document in. And then I tagged it to give it, so my first essay uploaded was Grieving Daddy's Death, is what it's called. And, you know, it's a piece about my helping my daughter through grief, and how hard that is, and you know, how death is always still in our lives. We're always aware of it, even though we have so much love and joy again. But so I uploaded it, and then Scribd sent me a note saying they wanted to feature it, but asked me to put a picture on the front cover and make it look more like a, you know, like a book cover, and gave me a couple examples to look at. And so I did that, and obviously being a photographer, it's pretty easy to figure out how to cut and paste a picture in Word. And so I made a cover, and so, you know, it looks prettier when it's featured, and on the, you know, on the Scribd page as a feature, I made a cover, and then they featured it, and, you know, it had several thousand reads. It does now have several thousand reads. And then, so when my second upload was my the first chapter of my memoir, Drop Dead Life. And, you know, it's only a five-page, it's a short chapter, it's a five-page excerpt, and I again put a cover on there, and I uploaded it as a Word document. So, you know, I know that you can upload several documents at a time, but for me, I like to just do one at a time and then be able to go through and categorize it, you know, if it's nonfiction, if it's essay, memoir, if it's, you know, whatever it may be. And it doesn't have to be memoir to upload documents. You know, it can be any type of writing and any type of photography also. So people use it in all different ways.
And so you use, carry on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, the question was, you use the readcast function, don't you? And you connect to all kinds of other sites.
I love, that is the greatest thing ever. The readcast function, it's amazing because, you know, we're all limited with our time. And, you know, I found that when I was writing on my own website or my blog, then I'd have to cut and paste here and cut and paste there. And it was so hard to get my writing seen in all these different places. And just the time it took to, you know, to put them on all the different sites I wanted it to be, you know, was very time consuming. And because I do have a community on Facebook, many of whom are widowed, as I told you, but many, many authors and friends and so on, when I click on the readcast feature, or even comment with enabling the readcast feature, my comment or my upload, my document, immediately goes out, gets pasted to my Facebook page and to my Twitter account. So I don't have to go back and do it again and again. And when you comment on other people's pieces also, they can see what you're reading, which is, you know, oftentimes much more interesting than, you know, reading I went to the grocery store as a status update. You know, you can let people know what you're reading and say, hey, I'd love to know what you think about this, or check this out, or, you know, whatever you're thinking. And I'll definitely say for me with Scribd, I had three literary agents who had been extremely interested when I went in February to the Southern California Writers Conference. And one helped me even reshape my book proposal, which I'd never written before, a book proposal, so that was a challenge. And I literally thought it was about to be shopped houses, and that's what she had led me to believe. And so, you know, being sleep-deprived as a mom, I mean, I often write until 4 in the morning, and then I have to get up at 6 in the morning to get everybody to school. So it would be very easy to call it quits, is what I'm telling you. So when I heard from her, well, you know, my superior doesn't think you have a big enough, you're not enough of a household name. That's what I got from all the agents. You're not a celebrity, you're not a household name with memoir, you need a platform. And but getting the feedback on Scribd, that sort of happened all around the same time, where suddenly I didn't have an agent. And I thought, gosh, all this time I'm spending sending out queries, endless queries, looking up the agents and doing the book proposal, I could be done with my book by now. I really could be done. It's so time consuming. And of course, as writers, I think we're more insecure. Rejection hurts. You know, that's part of what makes the writing beautiful, is exposing the vulnerabilities. But once I got on Scribd, I realized, oh, wow, people really do like this, or they really want to read it. Oh, it's getting featured. You know, it helped me sort of get over my, I don't know, any thoughts about self-sabotaging or just calling it quits and waiting until my kids are older, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's really, really given me, it's just a fabulous supportive community.
And you've obviously got, you know, obviously I heard of you because you got another interview on Jane Friedman's blog. And so I wondered, are you going to self-publish on Scribd, or are you still looking for a publishing deal?
You know, that's a loaded question. what's happened for me is all on script, it's all been extremely unexpected. I had never even considered self-publishing. And, you know, I have a friend who, an author friend, who's on her third book with Simon & Schuster. And she lives in a beautiful, beautiful house here in the Bay Area. And she makes no money off her writing. So, you know, I said to her, why do you keep going with Simon & Schuster? I mean, if you have enough people reading, if you're not getting paid, you know, it doesn't matter the big house, you know, which house it is, and she doesn't need the money, so it doesn't matter to her. You know, I'd like to be able to make enough money to pay my babysitter for, you know, all the hours I need her. That would be nice. And I also, because of Scribd and the publicity that's come out of it, I'm much more aware now of how sadly many writers are being exploited and taken advantage of by the larger houses, and not even getting any sort of publicity. So I'm meeting people who have published on Scribd or through smaller houses, and I'm just sort of keeping my eyes wide open right now. And I mean, certainly if an opportunity came to me where I felt like I can't pass this up, that'd be one thing. But I don't want most writers, you know, probably in February, if a larger house had said to me, you know, here's $5,000 for your advance, and I'd be all over it. I'd be just so excited they wanted me. And now I feel like this Scribd success I've had has happened for a reason. Like, you know, Eric died for a reason. And it's for me to help other people realize that they can get through any really difficult time. And I also, I love doing these types of interviews because I feel like writers need to know that they have options these days. And just because, you know, a person signs with a publishing house doesn't mean they're going to make any money off the writing and doesn't mean they're going to get any sort of publicity from the house. So, you know, it's just, I just want people to be aware, and this is only because I'm constantly learning about it right now. So I will tell you that because of the interview with Jane Friedman, who is such a lovely person, and I'm, you know, it's thrilling to get to do the interview with her. And then because of it, I won't name the names yet, but I was contacted directly by editors from two of the largest houses. So that was quite shocking for me, you know, because you need the agent to get in with the editor for the larger houses, but I was emailed directly by them because they had read the interview, and then they had gone to my Scribd documents and read more documents up there, and one of the editors, you know, that had then read through my entire blog. So I'm just... I'm just launching my kids back in school this week and just kind of waiting to see what the right step is for me. I'm really not set one way or the other. I don't want to go with a large house or any house and feel like I'm taken advantage of. It's not good for me, and I don't think it's good for any writers with the way things are changing in the publishing world.
No, I think that's great, and your story is proof that building a platform and putting yourself out there and being proactive can attract some kind of deal, whether or not you take that deal, you know. But that's what you're talking about is exactly what I try and encourage people to do, which is, you know, put yourself out there first, and that attraction will happen. So that's clearly happened for you. So that's absolutely brilliant.
Right. You know, it's been such an interesting journey for me because I had put my memoir completely on hold. I got pregnant with my fourth edition, and I completely put my memoir on hold for over 2 years. And I was just sort of getting back into the, you know, getting in the groove. Okay, let's do this now. I'm going to make this happen. And for me, this book I've always had to write it. Like, even when it's felt just terrible to have to write certain chapters, I've always known I have to write it. This has to come through me. It has to help other people. So, you know, I wasn't writing, and that made me feel very, very empty. And then, you know, and I just, And so when I approached the agents, I realized in retrospect, even in the months since February, now what I realize is what happens to writers, you go to a conference or wherever you go, even in your query, and if an agent or editor says, oh, you know, I like this better, I like that better, you know, we're all much more willing to shift to please them. And what's happened with me is just last week I was realizing, you know what, I don't want to make this about landing the right house or landing the right agent, nothing. I just want to get back to writing it and not making it more sexy or more funny for someone or whatever, because I do have sex in my book and I have a lot of humor. There's a lot of comic relief in grief. Trust me, you have to have it. but, you know, now what's happened is I've realized that, you know, writers need to write for themselves. I'm not saying not to get feedback, because I'm all about feedback. I always have people, you know, critique, and I tell them to don't hold back, you know, just because it's about my dead husband or whatever. I'm not saying not to listen to the feedback, but, you know, not to compromise really what you believe in just because you think it's, you know, a certain editor or agent, you know, will accept you or accept the book then. I mean, they're just, it's a business for them. They want to know, they need proof, you know, they need you to be a household name. They need, and they need to compare to different books. And what Scrib does, it lets you be peer reviewed, lets your writing, anybody can put it up there and see what kind of response you get. And, you know, and then you have the option. So for me, I'm just getting back to the basics of refocusing on this next revision. And, you know, I will say, I plan on having my book released one way or the other. If it goes traditional, it will be longer, of course, because it normally takes 18 months after the contract is signed. But I plan on releasing it myself via Scribd, you know, and maybe, you know, somewhere else. I'm not sure yet. But definitely via Scribd on October 11th, 2011, which is my late husband's birthday. So for me, I just had to pick a date. And go, that's my goal and that's my deadline. And I can, if I do decide to self-publish, I'll still get a couple editors and, you know, I'll hire the people myself to do those things. I would never try to turn out something or want to turn out something that I didn't think was of the highest quality. But I don't know what's going to happen yet. I'm just, you know, just want to go the right direction. And I want the same for all writers, you know, whether they're sleep deprived mommies or not, you know, on a mission. It's just, it's a very frustrating process.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. So we're out of time. But how can people find you? And so where will they be able to find your book when it's ready?
The best place to find me, well, first of all, thank you for asking that, because I love to be connected to everyone, and the best place to find me is on my website, which is www.hylamolander, it's hylamolander.com, so it's hylamolander.com, and of course, you can just Google Hyla or look me up on Scribd and you can find me, but my website has links to my Facebook, my Twitter, my widowed community, and of course, my Scribd account. So, and email also. So, and I'll definitely be keeping my readers informed of my next steps. It's been an exciting journey, and I'm very happy people want to read, and that it's helping other people. So, if you subscribe to my newsletter, you'll definitely be informed by that newsletter. Or, obviously, I'd be posting on any of the social networks also.
No, that's fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much, Hyla. You've taught us all a lot today, so thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the interest.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!